Welcome to Plain Talk. Plain Talk has over 120 podcasts containing information about aviation technologies and pilot experiences for general and business aviation, from home to cockpit to boardroom to personal tech. Plain Talk provides information for pilots, industry insiders, and aviation enthusiasts alike. My name is Phil Lightstone. I'm a general aviation pilot with over 2,200 hours in my logbook, flying almost every week with over 30 years experience in the technology, telecommunications, and aviation industries. Hey, we'd like to welcome the founder and CEO of a feisty little newcomer to the MRO business, Suresh Narayanan, to the Plain Talk cockpit. Welcome, Suresh.
Yep, thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Our pleasure. Suresh, you're a very interesting fella. You're an accomplished entrepreneur, investor, and visionary leader with roots in aviation. I believe your father had his career as an aviation mechanic working on the Concorde. And before you created Jets MRO, you worked alongside your brother Raj at the Aerospace Quality Research and Development Organization.
Yep, I had a great upbringing, nicely brainwashed to be in aviation, and multi-generational, and proud to continue the path for the family. It's fun being in an aviation family.
And my one-liner, Suresh, if it's not fun, don't do it.
Exactly. And I love waking up every day and dealing with problems. But, you know, the biggest thing in aviation is I always feel like things don't change fast enough. So I've always tried to focus on how to do things different, kind of disrupt old ways of thinking and hopefully leave it better than I found it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, don't you think? When we think about the challenges that the MRO industry faces, and that's all about recruitment and churn and retirement of the generations that have come before us. One of the things I've noticed is AMPs aren't necessarily compensated as much as the automotive industry.
Yep, I would agree. It's a sad disparity, and no offense to the automotive industry, but you see rates and pay and even billable hour to the customer pretty comparable. And you think about what you're working on, an aircraft, highly regulated technical piece of equipment up in the air versus a piece of an automobile, you think the spread would be a lot larger when you compare those two industries.
Well, and the certainly the impact of not getting the maintenance right, in terms of passengers on aircraft and people on the ground, can be much more challenging than hitting a car, when you're on the side of the road with another car.
I agree. I think the business aviation segment, I would say, struggles the most, in my opinion. It's the reason we're focused on that versus commercial or defense. We view commercial defense as very mature sub industries. But the business jet aviation industry has grown tremendously the last 15 years in how they utilize aircraft. But their ways they view maintenance and the aftermarket infrastructure had not matured professionally at that same pace. And so you're left with these charter operators basically operating their aircraft like an airline or a small regional. But the aftermarket is very fragmented and very mom-pom and very differentiated from one to the other. And I think we have a long way to go to really mature that industry. One, how we view people, how we operate, how we view the sales cycle, but just the general business, we have a long ways to mature, I think.
Yeah, and I think part of your company's core values, people first, character and integrity, combined with team before self, I mean, that's really putting quite an interesting stake in the ground as it relates to employee satisfaction, which drives long-term employee retention, but I think also transitions to customer satisfaction.
Yep, I would say there's not been one operator, and I used to come from the operator side where we had 77 aircraft, but I have not met one operator that has said maintenance is going amazing, no issues. I think it's been beat down just from the inconsistency. It's caused operators to micromanage the process, hire heavy reps, really manage down costs, question things. I think that comes from really a big lack of transparency when we talk about business maturity and the sales cycle. And that's what we're trying to change. So we founded JetSomero really on the premise of everybody how we treat mechanics. And the concept is if we can attract good mechanics and keep them, the customer gets a better service, better quality of product, and on-time performance, which is probably the biggest complaint I see from operators, is just MROs are not keeping up with what they're selling in terms of schedule and delivery. And I saw it firsthand. I think that goes with how the sales cycle works and overselling and underperforming. And in the commercial and defense side, it's, there's consequences to that. They're immature. There's contracts and SLAs that prevent that from just happening. But in the business jet segment, people are moving from MRO to MRO when they get mad at one for late deliveries. It's very immature. And so we're hopefully coming in with simple business practices to treat our team awesome and have an awesome team and be very open with what we can do, most importantly, with what we can't do.
And I think, as you pointed out, from the operator owner's perspective of their business jet, really a tool in their company to facilitate time, efficiency, which enhances profitability and EBITDA. And I see that you're doing some kind of innovative steps from a sales perspective, which is having the cost of parts marked up to a standard rate of 10% over cost with a cap of $10,000. I think that provides a more interesting, newer approach to transparency of overall cost of MRO service.
Yeah, I think the word transparency gets used a lot, but is not delivered enough, again, in the business jet segment. We also own a component repair station down in South Florida that really supports commercial and defense. And so I get to see it live every day, how that business process works in a positive way versus the business jet process, which me being a little newer and naive in this business, I'm having to learn and really educate the operator, like, how open we want to be on things. Because my big thing is I'd rather have scale and consistency over margin. So I'm not trying to win in the short term by having one project have, make more margin on parts and the next one be different. I'd rather be fully transparent to earn and partner with operators and scale the business, which is the best for my team. If we have those partners, we know when work's coming in and we can align with them. And good for the business because I want to scale it and have an impact on how we do MRO nationally, not just be another small MRO that has its own way of doing things to make money. Making money is a byproduct of focusing on your people first, not the purpose.
Absolutely. And as you said, transparency is all about not only talking the talk, but walking the walk and illustrating transparency. And I would expect that when you put a stake in the ground pertaining to, product or component markups, then that takes it back to first principles with providing the transparency of your vendor invoices to you being fully available to your customers.
Yep, and like if you go on our website, we have an FAQ section and it's overly transparent. We're sharing information most other repair stations wouldn't or wait to do it via bid or kind of hide it in the fine print. And again, I didn't want to start MRO to start MRO. I want to start MRO to treat mechanics better and change the way things are done in the business jet space. So being overly transparent is something we don't fear at all. And if we're sharing too much good information of how we conduct business, because we like to share what we're focusing on and fixing, but if it helps other MROs, I really think there's enough demand that if we help the industry get better, I'll take that win. So these aren't secrets we want to keep to ourselves. There are different ways of thinking we want to implement. And some of it may not work, but we're not afraid of trying new things that may or may not work because there's a lot more working than not.
As you said, all about the people. How many A&Ps are in the company right now?
We're approaching 20 in Dallas. We have another 8 or 9 in Miami. at the component repair station. We're looking for plenty more weekend and weekday shift for the business. So we're on a big recruiting spree right now. Our biggest thing is sharing our story. I think the easiest way to put it is I feel like businesses in general haven't listened to their mechanics specifically because that's our population enough. And so I didn't wake up one day and say, hey, these are the things I think are important to mechanics. I think I asked a question, and I didn't assume that increased pay was the only way to attract mechanics. Is I needed more data. I'm data driven. And so we asked hundreds and thousands of mechanics, kind of, what do you want in MRO? And then we also have a formal process to continuously get feedback from our current mechanics at Jets MRO about what could we do better, what's not working, what's working. And that's how we craft our people strategy. Mm-hmm. And because we have that focus, it's not guessing. It's saying, this is what the people are asking for. What can and can't we do? Let's be open about it. No maybes. So we really open about, this is what we can do, this is what we can't do, in terms of the feedback we get from our people.
What about apprentices?
We haven't entertained that yet because we're too small. And when we get to a bit larger size, we definitely are looking to partner. There's a aviation mechanics school at our airport here at Dallas, Executive Airport in Dallas. And so strategically, we're poised to be next to a mechanic school, which is amazing. That was on purpose, in a sense. But we need to be big enough to where we can actually properly mentor and train inexperienced future and current mechanics that don't have experience. And that needs to be a very robust program. We don't want to throw new people into the mix and say, learn on the go, which is kind of an old way of looking at it. Yeah. So currently we're not ready, but we will be when we get a little bigger.
And I think the good news is when you're ready to pull that trigger, cost of recruitment is as simple as walk across the ramp.
I hope so. It's been coming to this airport. This airport was kind of an unknown gem of Dallas. It's 15 minutes from Love Field, 20 from DFW. And we have brand new 40,000 square foot facilities here built for maintenance. So we're doing major engine changes and really heavy maintenance. But we're so close to the city. It's like the best of both worlds. We're at a quiet airport where there's no distractions from our scheduled maintenance and on-time performance focus. But we're close enough to the city to reap all the benefits and have all the resources, recruiting, all that fun stuff. So it's definitely a hidden gem of Dallas at Dallas Executive Airport.
That's awesome. You have a really interesting mobile maintenance support service for aircraft that are AGO. How mobile is the service for those clients that are AGO far from Dallas?
So our usually drop-ins come in Dallas, Love Field, Addis, anywhere in the about 100-mile radius of Dallas Executive. We can launch our mobile van out to go help them. We will say no, though. That's the biggest thing. If we can't support it, or if it pulls away from our scheduled maintenance timelines. But we do have a mobile van that stays pretty busy. It's out and about helping folks on the go. There's a lot of good other teams that we refer work to, too. So our big thing is help the operator, even if we're not the solution. And so there's a ton of really good mobile fleets where they have, 10, 15 of these mobile vans to go help folks these days. And so I think there's good resources for the AOG stuff. I think there's lacking resources for scheduled maintenance, which is our main focus.
And I noticed that diversity is part, of your DNA. And of the 8 senior leaders, 3 are women, which I think is absolutely fabulous. A lot of organizations might only have 2 to 5% women in aviation in their ranks. You're seeming to do it a little differently.
I think a lot of that is, I grew up in South Florida and Miami, so naturally I never heard the word diversity until I moved out of that area, in all honesty. And our initiatives aren't thought out or purposeful at all, actually. So when people ask me, what are your DEI initiatives or policies, I go, none. I think building the best team naturally should have different perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. So knowing those values and how I grew up, that's how we'll build the business. And then naturally the outcome may be that we look that way, but it wasn't with the intent of that outcome by any means. It was the intent of just building the best team with different perspectives so we could bring new ideas to the table and be the best version of Jets MRO that's different than how things are done before. So that kind of forces us to look at different ways to get different experiences into the business.
Yeah, it's a best talented approach that inherently doesn't have any racial, sexual, religious biases. It's the right people and the right job at the right time.
Exactly. And as long as we execute as a team, the team comes first, the business will be successful. That's what we really believe in. We just passed our first year anniversary. It feels like it's been longer.
Oh, wow.
We've already touched over 100 aircraft. Our new facility, we've been in a couple months. We're doing major operator work in there, and we're continuing to grow. Hopefully having to build more hangars here shortly if we keep the space up.
And you had the Brit Metal Processing acquisition.
Yep, we do about 1 to 2 acquisitions a year. We don't want to do too many. We did that early last year, and that's been an awesome component repair station that has been around for 60 years, and we're able to preserve that legacy and keep it going in the right direction while maintaining all its employees who have been there, a lot of them over 25 years. And then we're looking at plenty of other acquisitions as smaller businesses, the owners are looking for exits and don't want to work with a pure financial acquirer. Or get nervous about the process, we really align with those folks in aviation because we understand what it's like to be an operator, grow a business, protect its people, but also you want to exit for something you spent a lot of your life building.
Yeah, it must be quite interesting for folks that have been in the industry for 50 years that have seen such a change.
Definitely. It's hard when you have a peer financial acquirer come in because sometimes they don't see the point of view of the owner entrepreneur. And I think we bring a good balance of both with my M&A experience and finance background, but we're also operators, with a long legacy in aviation. So we kind of understand the business perspective, but also there's an emotional part of this that you have to understand if you want to get a good deal, a good transition in place.
And not only are you a pilot, but you're also giving back as a board member of the Frontiers of Flight Museum.
Yes, amazing museum in Dallas at Love Field that I've been privileged to be part of and help kind of make sure that they keep growing. And the team there has been amazing. It's evolving so fast, that museum here. It's so much fun to kind of make sure we give back and keep STEM programs, which is a big focus for them. Mm-hmm. Fun and expose kids. I love young adults in aviation, young kids in aviation. I have 2 young boys. That's how I grew up in my dad's repair station. And so anything I can do to help make sure there's awareness and access to just be around aircraft and cool aviation aerospace things, definitely a personal passion of mine.
What's your favorite aircraft in the museum?
In the museum, they have a little Lear fan, the original, I guess not Learjet, but the original Lears hanging there. But they're always getting new. They had a Blue Angel in there as well.
Wow.
And there's always some new stuff. I can't ruin the surprise, but there's some new exhibits coming in. There's always something exciting coming to the Frontiers of Flight Museum in Dallas.
Oh, very cool. So what's on the horizon for Jets MRO?
I think growth. So obviously we have a couple acquisitions in play, mainly in the Southeast, other maintenance companies or ancillary capabilities. So that will be exciting to get another company inorganically added to the group. I think it's kind of a simple problem. It's bring awareness of how we're trying to do MRO differently, execute. We got to deliver on time with a high quality, and we're doing the transparency thing already. We don't have a pure MRO sales team. We've really done a good job connecting our production floor straight to the operator, so they're more in tune with what's going on with their aircraft without any buffer or customer reps. I think as long as we keep to our values and just scale that, we'll be okay. I think this year is a year where we just need to focus on continue to recruit amazing mechanics by sharing our story and making sure we retain the ones that decide to come join us and continue listening to what we can do better and making those investments.
I like to think that a well-run organization, their sales team are in fact the 30 AMPs that are working in your organization right now.
It is. I invite anyone to come visit us, especially customers or operators of aircraft, meet the team that does that. They do the hard work. They turn the wrenches. I want a customer to feel comfortable with the team executing on the work. So I like for them to meet our leads and our inspectors and our mechanics, because they're really the face of the business. no one else. So we try to share them in our social media on LinkedIn, YouTube. We're very prevalent on sharing stories and best practices and value-add content from our mechanics to the world, because I'm proud of what they do for the company. And they're really, you know, the heart of the entire business. We wouldn't be there without them. They do all the hard work.
So are you thinking about an employee ownership stock option plan for these folks?
We actually do have a profit sharing mechanism already in place. We had it since day one. Now we're a smaller business, so we have to get there. And so if we continue to build this thing, there is a mechanism in there that will allow us to share profits with employees, just like owners.
Amazing. And that will keep your staff, hopefully, for life.
Definitely. The goal is to grow there and make that a huge part of, you know, their reward and comp basis. And we're entering our second year and being around, but we've, again, grown tremendously and are trying to just get the word out to a lot of operators to show them you can deliver an airplane on time, on quality, with transparency. I think that comes with a lot of us being from the operator, so our own customer, and then being able to, you know, we're fortunate, growing Jet from Row from a clean slate without bad habits, the way we wanted to see it, that we couldn't find it.
That's an amazing story. Suresh, any final words for the Plane Talk audience?
No, I appreciate the time. Again, please check us out at jetsomero.com. Always happy to share our story, how we do things differently, not because we think it's all going to work. We want to definitely leave our mark and try to just bring different perspectives to everybody in the industry. And so, and try to elevate how we do things as an overall industry. If we can impact and disrupt old ways of thinking in the business jet space specifically, we've done our job, and the success, again, will be a byproduct of those focuses.
Amazing new company. And Suresh, thank you so much for being part of the Plane Talk podcast.
Awesome. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Plane Talk. If you have any ideas for a future Plane Talk episode, please go to the Contact Us page at planetalk.ca and send in your idea. Don't forget to like us at planetalk.ca, our Facebook and LinkedIn pages, and this podcast. And never stop living the dream.